All right. So you've had a break. You've shifted, rested, enjoyed, celebrated, had a state break, so your mind's in a different place now. But the pull continued. Some of the work was still going on with you and will continue until this workshop is indeed closed at the end of this day. What we would like to talk about now is specifically focusing on rage in your culture and how it manifests through the physical, through the emotional of your culture. And the reason we focus this way on rage, and not necessarily focusing in this particular way as much on terror, is because you build so much of your rage. Most of the foundation of your rage is complete by the time you're 15 years of age or 16. And so, considering how conscious you were at the age of 16, or at 8, or at 4, or 2, you didn't really know how much rage you had. Nor did you have a clue as to where you stashed it. And on top of that, you had no idea what the impact of that rage was, and continues to be, in your culture, in your personal life, in the life of those you know about you. The reason we focus on rage in the body, I'll start there first, is because all the health issues in your culture that are common to everyone in the aging process is directly linked in to the terror and the rage. And mostly to the suppression of your expression that occurred when you were a child. Not every child has an opportunity to be completely free, creatively speaking. All of you were corralled to go and sit in school. A lot of your creativity died right there. A lot of your imagination died in school, sitting in the schoolroom. What did you do with it? What did you do with your enthusiasm over the expression of the energy through your body when you had to sit still for hour after hour? Some of you may have had what is commonly diagnosed nowadays as attention deficit hyperactive disorder. But for many of you, it was before that was a convenient thing, before they had, of course, a drug for it. They're only going to diagnose something if they have a nice, expensive drug for it, right? Before that, you know, you'd have to kind of work with the child, you know, try to find some avenue of interest for the child so the child can expend his or her energy appropriately. But you see, one of the things that happened in school, you were entrained into the towing the line. We talked about that earlier in the question. Towing the line, staying on that middle path, that path that's allowed. That's where you learned that path. That's where you were trained in social situations and cultural situations by going to school. You learned how to stand in a line. What they were hoping is that you learned to be patient. How many of you feel that you're really totally patient, right? Yeah, right. They did such a good job, didn't they? In order for you to hold the image of patience, even though you weren't patient, you had to suppress your energy. You had to hold yourself back. Because this happens to everyone, essentially, in your culture, then the aging cycles and the unfoldments of aging tend to come with the same symptoms. The same types of health issues show up again and again under the same types of circumstance. You can almost see it as a matrix. Now, one of the things that you learned, and one of the ways that you suppressed your shame, your rage, excuse us, was because you were loaded down with shame. Feelings of undeservingness or judgments on you, feeling small, feeling that you were inadequate in one way or another, or that somehow you didn't deserve good things, or if you deserved good things, you had to perform for them. And maybe you didn't want to perform for them. Maybe you did. But the issue that was in there, the shame was stuck in there, that somehow or another you had to find someone else to give you your value, your significance, your power, your love, your freedom, your safety, etc., etc. In other words, you had to look to others to teach you what you had to do to earn it, to attract it, etc. And generally, what you learned was not to be you. You were supposed to be this really special, important, what you might say, exceptional child. Some of you were, but at what price? There's a tremendous drive. Some of you have families that drove you to make good grades, drove you to be successful, drove you to participate in all these extracurricular activities and become president of your class or whatever, drove you, pushed you, pushed you, pushed you, pushed you. And others of you resisted, 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 resisted. What happens when there's energy moving and energy being resisted? When there's a push and a pull, you get a lockdown. When shame is added to it, it's a push down. In other words, pushes down into the unconscious. Why? Because you can't deal with it. You have too much energy. You have too much motivation. That's not in alignment with what you're supposed to be motivated for. You have all sorts of other ideas about your life, but no, you're supposed to do this. This is the accepted thing you're supposed to do here at school. You're supposed to, you know, try out for this team, or you've got to, you know, do this, or you've got to do that project, and so on, so on, so on. And you've got to please this teacher, or you've got to please your parents, or whatever. Tremendous pressure, tremendous stress. Started early. So where does it show up? When you push it down the unconscious, you essentially put it into physical plane. Make it real, like the table, like a chair. You make it, in a sense, solid. You only do it in your emotional body. You do it in your unconscious mind. It becomes solid. When you overflow, when there's too much, it seeps out. Most people are not aware of rage seeping out. No, you just can't contain it anymore. The container is full. And there's more going in, and you're still trying to push stuff down, push stuff down. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with it. Well, it's just too much. So you push it down here, it seeps up there. Because you've filled up your container, you filled up your reservoir. And how does it show up? It shows up in viruses, in immune system dysfunctions, where you pick up anything that's going around. Have you ever noticed how viruses are kind of like caught by, you know, tossed over across the room with to each other? You sneeze on somebody, then they get a cold. It's really not like that. It's a collective consciousness thing. That's not really how you catch a cold or a flu or whatever, or herpes or whatever. It's your belief system that your body and the other person's body is contaminated. There's a judgment on your body, and it's so consistent throughout your whole culture that you feel very annoyed if you have to be around somebody who's sick, because what if you get sick? You blame it on them. It's part of the culture. There's some cultures that you can go up to somebody and sneeze right in their face and cough on them and spit on them and who knows, whatever, and they won't catch a thing because they're not in your matrix of belief. So colds and flus, they're very typically, they're spread around. They're shared. It's a collective thing, right? Community thing. A community virus, right? What a virus is really doing is expelling rage out of your body. That's why often you get fever, you feel like crap, you're exhausted because your body's fighting, there's a big battle going on, saying, no, get down, rage. The other rage says, no, not at all. This is my time, I'm going to blast through. So there's a big battle going on in your immune system, or at least that's what it feels like, headaches. Inflammations can show up, temperature rise, heat or cold, chills. That's the rage. In fact, what happens is that viruses go into a cell, they enter the cell, and then they replicate with the DNA of the cell. Right? If that isn't a collective consciousness kind of thing. Here is an idea, here's a concept over here. Why don't you take it and make it your own? Right? You accept it, you receive it because you believe it. Right? Now, we're not knocking colds and flus because they're actually very useful. Because a lot of your rage is about having to do a heck of a lot of stuff you don't really want to do. Have you ever noticed that colds and flus very often come after you've been overworking, you're tired, you're stressed out, you're angry and upset about something. You've been really agitated. Or it's been going on too long. You've sacrificed something. You've been martyring yourself. You've been trying to help somebody and they don't seem to be accepting your help. And you're trying to be a good person here and just not seeming to make any positive difference for you. Just goes on and on and on. And you have to do all these errands and all this work and stuff. When's your time? When's your time? When's your fun time? When's you going to get to create and do what you want to do? There's a rage there. There's a powerless rage that you must work. You must do this. You must do that. Now, we addressed some of this in the motivation workshop that we did. But where the role of rage is that you feel shame, you don't feel worthy, you don't feel valuable that enough to risk doing what you damn well want to as a responsible person. See, if you're a child and you say, you do whatever you want to, of course it's not going to be responsible. It might be pretty idiotic. You might end up hurting yourself. If you're a child and say, do whatever you want to, if you say this to the adolescent say, oh, good, like, give me some booze. I'm going to go out and party and drive real fast down the road and act like a total idiot and go berserk and think it's just so cool and fun. So you're, in a sense, frightened of doing that, being there, being irresponsible, that there'll be damage there. And, of course, society threatens you. If you don't work, if you don't be a good citizen, if you don't this and that and the other, then bad things will happen to you. So the shame frightens you into the terror. And then with the rage, damn it, I have to, even though I don't want to, you push the rage down. And after a while, a cold or a flu will make you so sick you cannot go work. You cannot do things. You cannot function in your normal way. What must you do? You must lie down, rest, and take care of yourself. So there's a positive use for those. Even if you feel terrible, You're still taking care of yourself. You're still resting. You're still taking a pause from the stress, from the push, from the drive. So rage has, in that sense, that's one of the ways that you allow yourself to release it. There's a certain, even at your reluctance to stop working and so on, because they're all counting on you and you feel guilty and you have too much to do and so on. If you do it, you actually are caring for yourself. So caring for yourself is one of the ways you can release rage as a positive energy form. It transmutes, rage will transmute into self-care, loving yourself. You can transmute that energy. You can transmute into a passion. It can transmute into your creativity. One person got ill and said, finally, now I can do my work. The stuff I really like to do. Because I've got the excuse not to go into the work that I don't like to do. Another form of rage is herpes. Now, herpes, symbolically, energetically, demonstrates the rage pattern. The rage pattern is that you have this active form of anger and outrage and you just urge to have impact. You just feel it's futile. You feel powerless and frustrated. But then when you push it down, it goes down underneath, but it doesn't disappear. Herpes doesn't disappear. It stays in your spine. It hides out in your spine. And when you're stressed and overloaded, it'll flare up again. It'll come out to the surface, onto your skin. Image. If you will own your self-image as a powerful reality creator, in a loving way, supporting you. If you have herpes, it'll be a much milder outbreak. But herpes, staying there, dormant, hidden, but always available if you get too stressed. That's just the way rage functions. That's the way it works. Now, where does it hide? In caches, storage areas in your unconscious. We mentioned that before. There are two types of rage, as we mentioned before. One is the frozen rage. This is the one where you really shut down with the terror, because terror is cold, and terror will freeze the outrage, freeze the rage, so much so that you'll just shut down your whole energy of your body. This can make you very ill. It can bring chronic fatigue. It can bring fibromyalgia, tremendous pain, an imbalance that no matter how much you balance with your body chemistry and balance your structure and go to chiropractors or whatever it is, get massages and rolfing and whatever, rage will continuously throw you out a bit. It shows up with toxicity, so we mentioned before, with the kidneys and adrenals. So in adolescence, those of you who had to suffer a lot of acne, or even those of you who are adults and have adult acne, a lot of that has to do with rage that has mutated into strep and staph infections. Rage will mutate even further into fungus, candida. So those of you who have struggles with candida. And from there, a lot of acid in your body, overweight, can be initially triggered by rage. And as we mentioned, that as you get older, you do the social kind of thing, you know, so everybody, there's about 80% of the population has syndrome X. Syndrome X is something that generally happens in middle age and beyond, in which a person gains weight. They first start with the middle-aged belly, and then they can't see as well, so they start wearing reading glasses, and then there's the higher blood pressure, and the cholesterol builds up, and then there's congestion perhaps in the chest, and then there's all sorts of stuff, and it moves into fungus. And when it moves into fungus, you become vulnerable to cancer. Cancer is the ultimate disease of separation. Separation from the divine. Because the source root of all cancer, if you've had cancer, skin cancer, any kind of more serious cancer, you can always kind of trace the root energy of it to separation and loss. Of love, somehow. It all goes back to the choice to come here. And sometimes maybe the regret of the choice. And then in this particular lifetime, a loss of a loved one or a difficult separation or loss of a job or whatever it is. Or trying to live somebody else's life rather than your own. So a loss of your own life, of your own essence, your own nature. When it goes into fungus, that's the time to watch out. That's the next stage after candida and fungal infections. Okay. All of this energized by rage. Hiding down deep in the low depths of your psyche. Now there's the boiling rage, the anger rage. The one that most people think of. Like terrorists who like to scare people and who like to hurt them and harm them and destroy them and not care at all about them. Even bragging, they don't care. Torturing. There's that type of cruelty. Now, not everybody goes there, of course. Only when your culture supports it strongly. And you get a lot of ego points for it. The adolescent will go for it. The inner adolescent will go for it. Well, to be mean, to be cruel, to be hurtful. It's not natural to human beings, actually. But the essence of this is that boiling rage. That when it's suppressed too long, for some people, it doesn't seep out. In health problems, it blows. And that's the case, for example, in the Virginia campus killer, or was it Maryland? What was the one where Virginia Tech, there it is. This guy was just stuck down there with shame and rage, shame and rage, shame and rage, shame and rage. And it just was building up, and he didn't know what to do. Push, push, he tried to push it down, he tried to push it down. He didn't talk to anybody, he withdrew himself. Push, 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 let's push it down. Couldn't push it down, couldn't push it down. The rage, the anger, the frustration built and built and built and built. And one day it started to blow. The sign that it's going to blow is that the logic that the person has becomes so twisted and so distorted and so unreal, it sounds like some unbelievable, you know, sick kind of person in a novel. You know, it doesn't seem realistic. That whole kind of gothic thing with the Columbine students, you know. They go into fantasy. They lose some kind of grounded connection to their own reality. Because they lose their boundaries too much because it's blowing, it's blowing, it's blowing. And then anything that they do can be justified. They can find the most bizarre rationales for everything that they think and they feel. And you need to be careful for yourself. Because even though you're not going to be one of those people that's going to pick up a gun and shoot a bunch of people, when you start seeing that you have weird thoughts and you have weird rationales for everything that you do, you know it's about to blow. The rage is poisoning your brain. when the rage gets into your brain, it throws your hormones way out of whack. And if you've ever experienced your hormones being way out of whack, then you know what we're talking about. Now, generally, the women will laugh at that one. Men don't know about that one. Hormones, I don't know about that one. But who are the killers that go insane, right? Generally, guys. Generally, males. Because, in a sense, males are trained to not feel. They got to be strong little boys. They're going to be tough little soldiers. Don't cry. Don't feel. Don't shut it down. Shut it down. Shut it down. So most of them like to become automatons. But that doesn't work. It doesn't work. And it's working less and less. Because the people coming onto the planets, the souls coming here in physical form at this time, if you notice, don't handle it as well. There's a lot more rambunctious children. There's a lot of children, more children that don't fit. There's a lot more disturbance in amongst adolescents. Oh yeah, there have always been. But now it's becoming more violent. Because the rage is building, and rage is building in the whole culture. But when it blows, they'll take people out. And at some point in it all, they'll realize with a tremendous shock, as the rage has been released, if you notice how you felt after you blew up a whole bunch of things and destroyed a whole bunch of things, it's out there. There was a space. Now, you did it proactively. But a person who goes berserk and shoots a whole bunch of people, he does it physically, and he goes to that space. And suddenly it dawns on him what he's done. When he gets the rage out, suddenly it brings him back to reality. And with that, he's overwhelmed with shock, terror, and new rage, new amazement. What? Now what? What's going to happen to me now? And the futility of it, the guilt, the shame that pushed it down has come to the surface. And generally, they turn the gun on themselves. Most of them do. Or they're in a shootout, you know, they're killed. Like the one at the military base. But that's rage. People who don't know how to manage their rage. And when you talk about rage in a regular culture, you know, cultural environment, that's the rage people think about. That's the one they understand. But they may be sitting there suffering physical health issues and not realize that the problem with their headaches or the problem with their hormones or the problem with this or that, the other, had foundations in rage. For example, in women, and in the time known as menopause, women who enter menopause with a lot of stored rage, extra stored rage, may have a rougher time with it. Their blood sugars may be more volatile, up and down. They may have more hot flashes. Hey, every time they are stressed, they can have a hot flash. And then there's some women who just blithely just kind of move into menopause without any hassle whatsoever. They still sleep well. They digest well. They're not gaining weight. They're not going through all the symptomology. If you look at these people, they have some kind of outlet. An outlet of expression. Some kind of channel through which to put a lot of their energy. And they often have a little stronger sense of value in themselves and who they are. Now, this is not a judgment to those of you who have suffered hot flashes. All it means is that, hey, you know, you've got a lot of passion in there that hasn't come out. You don't have a really good channel for it right now. You need to get it going. You need to get your desire and your motivation and your passion online. But rage, very hard to put a finger on it in a sense because it's hidden away. What we're going to do later is we're going to go down into the unconscious mind. And we're going to find those caches. We call them the caches. We're going to find the pit of rage. We're going to chip away and melt out the frozen rage. But be forewarned that if you do clear out your rage stashes, that in order to keep yourself from building those stashes right up again, because you know your subconscious is operating on the assumption that you got to have big, full rage caches, right? Big containers of rage. And so if you clean them out, your subconscious is going to do what? Create crises for you so you can feel some good, juicy rage, right? So the object here is to handle and heal, and the antidote to rage, in other words, is to have a channel, an outlet for your energy. One of the three or all three of the divine expression channels. And just to reiterate briefly, the first one we would suggest is to connect with others to give and receive energy to love, touch, and heal back and forth. The second one, to create, to imagine, to dream, to put together something that's fun for you, to motivate, to activate your own energy, your passion, your drive, your flow that's yours, your divine flow. Get your life into flow, into a harmonic flow, a celebration of pleasure, including sex. A lot of people would say, good second chakra energy, right? That creativity, that sexuality, that juice, that fire, the lower tantien in there with all that, the fire of the body. The third channel is what you would expect to learn, to grow, to expand your awareness of yourself, to eat of that tree of knowledge, to play with it, to savor your apples, and to make changes that enable you to grow further, to expand more, and to know more about who you are as the divine being. So there's three channels. These three channels are available at all times to every one of you. It's your choice whether you express through them or not. If you block a channel, you're going to have rage build up. It's going to build up and build up and build up, and then it'll start seeping and seeping and seeping, and you keep pushing it down. And the more vehemently and more dramatically you keep pushing it down, the more it keeps wanting to come up. The stories of young people that are destructive, self-destructive streak, you know, morbid, self-destructive person. They take drugs. They seem to be on a self-destructive path. There's rage in there and shame that is surfacing. And how can you handle that but to go more numb? Some drugs give you a temporary sense of empowerment. An antidote, it seems like. So, of course, a person's going to keep going for that if they don't know how to deal with their rage and their shame, and they're bewildered and they're in terror. How are they going to deal with it? But you, even if you don't do drugs and things like that, you can still self-destruct in other ways, through health issues, through relationship issues, through work issues, through some kind of, through your consistent channel of stress that we call the commission of challenge. As you've said, okay, here is something that when it comes and stresses me out, then I'll respond to it and I'll do a lot of growing. Even though I don't like it, it's a kick-ass growing, kick-ass school of growth, as we call it. I'll do it. That's the commissioner challenge. And so people will use the commissioner challenge to force themselves into it. We recommend don't force yourself into learning and growing. Don't force yourself into creating and pushing energy and driving yourself. Right, and don't force yourself into sex or anything like that. Unless you really, really, really want to. Okay? And loving, touching, growing, loving, healing, sharing. A lot of people's definition of love is twisted and distorted by shame and rage. And so a lot of people are afraid to love because when they get close to somebody else, number one, they get the terror of losing the person immediately. Any level of intimacy you go in, terror. Oh my gosh, I'm vulnerable. I'm in a free fall. What would happen if I lose this person? Oh, okay, well that's... But if you go deeper, if you're willing to go deeper and not run away, you'll pass that. You'll get past that. You'll grow even more and have more love. Some people define love as if I love someone, then I let them control me. That's called the codependent love. I'll respect them by not talking about things that they don't want to talk about, like just about anything, because it gets on their nerves and then they'll be mean and be hurtful. Codependent love is not love, of course. You're not loving, touching, and healing. You're, you know, touching indeed, but you're touching with shame and pain and fear. So in relationships, some of the most devastating aspect of this shows up as rage shows up. And feeling that you cannot be who you are in a relationship and be loved. That's the core. That's the piece that under a long-term stress can turn into cancer. Can you be fully yourself? First of all, of course, you have to have an idea who that is, right? Can you be fully yourself in a relationship with another person and really love yourself and really be you and be open to love? You have to redefine love in order to do that. You have to define it differently, define it by caring and loving and giving and sharing and so on without any kind of loss on your part. No sacrifice on your part, but a sense of celebration instead as an adult. So the antidote to rage is to have those three channels open and moving. So as we talked about, the antidote to terror is connecting with the divine and with the divine future you've created and you're in the process of activating. And the antidote to rage, to energize your channels. Living in as an adult and not letting your past trap you. Keeping clean down in the underworld and the unconscious mind beneath you. Because if you'll keep cleaning out those caches, there'll come a point where you won't get sick anymore. You won't have health problems. Your life will go much more magically, much more energetically. You'll be much more in balance. There'll be more harmony in your life. And your subconscious will get the new pattern. And it'll be in flow. You'll have a momentum. A positive momentum in your life. All right. So later on, we're going to get rid of the cachet. So right now, we're going to take a break. And you can, just for a few, how long shall we take a break? 15?
Yeah.
All right, 15 minutes. When we come back, we'll do question and answer about rage or any kind of stuff related to health, relationship, or the three channels of expression, anything that you feel that you need to clarify or comment upon. And then we'll do a meditation. And in this meditation, we'll go down and clean the caches. And do some, also some higher divine connection as well. All right, so farewell for now.